The way was long, the journey rough and weary. The deep shadows of darkness were shrouding his people. He had grown old waiting. There's no denying it. The quest he had been on for so long now would soon be over. It had to be. The promise depended on it. Even at midday, the light in his eyes was fading. He knew there wasn't much time to see what he needed to see. Why so long? Why had he been kept waiting? Was he wrong? Did he misunderstand? The vision had become a lifelong obsession for him. It seemed so clear and so near and so real at one time. He had been committed to it. His purpose was wrapped up in it. He had given the entirety of his days to it. But here at the end, it seemed less like a vision and more like a faint dream. A dream that was trying to play tricks on his mind, almost as if to mock him as his body yielded to the days gone by. Was it time to let go? Was it time to accept that it would be an unmet hope? A promise that would soon set beyond the horizon of his life? As the evening shadows rolled in, he braced himself for an assault on his resolve. It was the same battle each night as he lay awake, wondering, waiting. He strengthened his heart with one more prayer. He wouldn't give up. He couldn't give up. Hope felt razor thin now at the very end, but he still clung to it, hoped that he would yet see the promise. As he walked through the temple courtyard, the cool night breeze stirred the air. Nearing the gate, he offered a familiar friend a greeting, peace, which the priest returned as he always did each evening for as long as they both could remember. Shalom, Simeon. Simeon is holding on to hope, and hope is a powerful thing. So I'm glad you're listening today. Glad you're joining us here in person. If you're watching this sometime in the future, I want to say that this message is given on Sunday, 2 days after Christmas. And I'm telling you this because timing is important. It was important for Simeon in the Bible, and timing is important for you. I've noticed a phenomena as a preacher over the years that the Sunday after Christmas is often one that gets the fewest online viewers, gets the fewest in-person attenders. And I get it, you know. We just worshiped 48 hours ago on Christmas Eve. In a normal year, there's people to see, places to go, lots going on. You might not know this, but I actually take this Sunday off usually too. The reason is simple. There's fewer listeners. It seems like a good time to check out. Timing is everything. But this isn't a normal year, and I hope you're not offended by what I'm about to say, but you're not a normal church. For one thing, you're here, so that makes you abnormal in the beginning. The timing of Simeon's brief appearance in Scripture is important. Timing is important for you today. Not everyone is hearing this, but you are. So I'm going to be a little bold and call you out today. You okay with that? I think you're here, I think you're listening today because you are nurturing a resolve like Simeon. Because you're either pursuing one of two things. You're either pursuing what you believe to be a clear vision of God, a clear call in your life, and either you are trying to live that out right now, or you at the very least are clarifying that call and seeking it out. So one, you're pursuing a clear call. The second reason you may be here today is you're holding on to something that God keeps bringing back around. It might feel like a faint dream to you right now, but you know you're not supposed to give it up. And it's not something that you're just being selfish about. You're just not stubborn. You're not being stubborn, not letting go. You know in your soul that it is a God-given dream, and you're not willing to abandon it. Even though it seems maybe impossible at this point. You're just like Simeon in that you are holding on to hope. So let me encourage you. If that's you today, if you have a vision, if you're nurturing a dream, even a faint dream, hope is a powerful thing. Hope is a powerful thing. Say that with me. Hope is a powerful thing. You know, the Bible says that hope does not disappoint us. And the reason is because of the love God has poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So I want you to understand that for a Jesus follower, hope is a God thing. And you might think, well, of course it is, but hope is a God thing. It's the work of the Holy Spirit on your heart, the Spirit of God upon your will. See, God empowers you to hope, to cling to the promises you know one day will be fulfilled. So hope understands what God has already done. Hope sees what God has done, and that then reassures us for the things that are coming, the things not yet seen. So if you happen to cook a big meal for Christmas, most likely you have plenty of leftovers. Cheryl and a couple of the kids cooked a great big feast on Christmas Eve, and I know that one dish we didn't even touch. There was so much food, it didn't even get open, right? It got stuck in the fridge. So there's just too much food, and that means plenty of what? Plenty of leftovers, right? Leftovers. I have to tell you, and maybe I mentioned this before, but there was a time when I didn't know what leftovers were. So when Cheryl and I got married and she would cook all this food, I'd say, Cheryl, why do you cook so much food? There's no way we can eat it. And she would say, for leftovers. And I said, Cheryl, what are leftovers? See, growing up as a kid, there were six of us kids and then our two parents. And so when Mom would cook a big meal and place it on the table, you know, we would eat it up. There was plenty of food. Mom made sure of it. But if there was anything left over, then Dad would clean it up. And I don't mean that he would wrap it up and put it in the fridge. I mean, he would eat it up, all of it, everything. He loved food. So I had never experienced leftovers. So I'm going to confide in you this morning. Leftovers are pretty good. I have some right here. Leftover. In fact, I'm working on losing 10 pounds. It's kind of came on during the COVID shut-in, and you know, I just haven't worked it off yet. So I have a plan. My goal this between Christmas and New Year's now is this. Don't gain. Right? That's it. Don't gain. Do you know why that's my goal? Because I've discovered I'm a little like my dad, you know? And at Christmas, long after the dinner's over, leftovers still remain. And they keep me from losing weight. So my goal, just maintain. I think hope is like leftovers. It remains. It keeps us from losing the dream. So if you're nurturing a resolve like Simeon, then you need to keep dishing up hope. The Bible has a lot to say about hope. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13 that of all the spiritual gifts, there's three that remain: faith, hope, and love. Hope, right in the center of it. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer reminds us, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Say that with me. Hoped for. The assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not yet seen. So both of these passages link faith and hope so tightly together, it seems almost impossible to experience one without the other. It's almost impossible to experience faith without hope, and it's almost impossible to have hope without faith. We put a lot of emphasis on faith, and rightly so. The scripture says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, right? Through faith. But faith doesn't function without the vision that hope brings. So faith looks to hope to reveal the unseen promises ahead, and then hope in return is nurtured by faith's confidence in their certain outcome. I'm going to say that again. Faith looks to hope to reveal the unseen promises ahead, And hope is nurtured by faith, confidence in the outcome of those promises. So faith and hope. That makes faith and hope crucial components to following Jesus. But are they enough? When hope is stretched thin, razor thin, is hope still enough to keep the vision alive? Is your hope stretched like Simeon's? Will it be enough for you? Is it enough for him? We find out as we read on, as he waits. See, Simeon's story starts in Luke chapter 2. He barely gets three paragraphs in the entire New Testament. He's almost like a little interlude stuck in there. He's squeezed in between Jesus' unforgettable birth and the announcements of the angels, everything we hear about on Christmas Eve, and then this strange story of Jesus as a almost a teenager when he is lost and he gives his parents a big scare in the temple until they find him 3 days later teaching the leaders. So between these episodes, Simeon and his counterpart, the prophetess Anna, are almost forgettable. Almost. But he's presented to us, I think, as a pillar of hope. I see him as a man of deep conviction and deep faith. He overcomes the burden that he's been holding on to, a God-given vision all his life, that he will be a witness to God's salvation. And even though life can come at us at mock speed, it gets crazy sometimes, following Jesus still means waiting on things hoped for. We can't get around it. We can't race past it. We have to wait on the things hoped for. For Simeon, waiting is all he can do. So Joseph and Mary's story intersects Simeon's as they faithfully obey what the law of Moses requires of new parents. So we pick up in chapter 2 of Luke, verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. So Mary and Joseph, through their obedience, allow the child to be placed in the temple in proximity to Simeon's hope. So timing is everything for Simeon. His vision so long ago received is now about to be realized because God has positioned him in the perfect place at the right time. See, God is at work in ways unseen by Jesus' parents, by this old visionary, oftentimes even by us. So even after years of silence, we're now reading this prophetic activity of the Holy Spirit that's being reawakened. See, it begins just a couple months earlier in Scripture as it talks about Zechariah's announcement to John the Baptist. And then came the heavenly announcement to the shepherds of the Messiah's birth. A Savior has been born. And now the Holy Spirit comes on these two faithful, devout Jews who remain in this constant surveillance for the appearing of God's salvation. So we come across Simeon first and find him returning to the temple, renewing his hope for another day. Verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So Simeon has nurtured his resolve for another day. Maybe you know that feeling, right? It's like you get up out of bed, it's like, another day. Okay, here we go. I can do this. Unknown to him, it is the day that he has been waiting for, the day that he has seen so long ago. And it begins like any other day with another hopeful trip to the temple. Janelle Richardson, in her work, Night Visions, she describes Simeon's life as being lived in the season of Advent. So the season of Advent is this time before Christmas, 4 weeks leads up to it. And we just passed through it. So Jan writes, the season of Advent means there is something on the horizon, the likes of which have never been seen before. what is possible is not to see it. I find that interesting. It's possible to miss it, to turn just as it brushes past you. And you begin to grasp what it was you missed, like Moses in the cleft of the rock, watching God's back fade into the distance. So stay, sit, linger, tarry, ponder, wait, behold, and wonder. There will be time enough for running, for rushing, for worrying, for pushing. For now, stay, wait. Something is on the horizon. I'm confident that as we listen to this, some of you are holding on to a faint dream. You might have almost given up on it, but not quite. You can't. God is in it. Some of you have a clear vision of where God is calling you in the future. Wait on God's timing. Hold on. Timing is everything. So Simeon, he held on to this clear vision that over time had become just a faint dream to him. He was waiting, and then, Scripture reveals, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." So Simeon now saw, held in his arms, what he had waited for, not just a baby, but God's salvation embodied in the child, the Messiah. But even more than that, he's recorded in the Bible by Luke as a witness, revealing to every reader, every listener, to you and I today as we sit here, hope fulfilled, the good news of God's salvation, which is hope for all people. We have hope to share. And so because you're hearing this today, I believe the Spirit is equipping you through God's Word with this message that empowers visions, that inspires dreams for life in all its abundance for you today here. The child's father and mother marveled at what had been said to them. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." We hear the tone shift in this passage. It's almost strange, but it reminds us that Jesus is both received and rejected. So will you and I be, both received and rejected. Hope will face obstacles, and hope will be abandoned by many. Therefore, take note today. Don't let your hope be abandoned. Nurture your resolve like Simeon, because the hope that Simeon sees, God's salvation, is your hope as well. It is your hope and the hope of the world. So are you holding on to a thin dream? Are you holding on to a vision? Simeon finally confesses, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." Peace. You know, it seems like Simeon can go and die now. It's all over. Not really. He's recognizing that salvation has come, that he now can experience the shalom of God's promises, all of life in abundance, because this dream, this vision is fulfilled. And for each one of us, every longing desire, every vision, every dream is fulfilled ultimately in the Son of God. "For my eyes have seen your salvation. All is complete. All is well with my soul." So Luke caps off this short report with one more person who's waiting. In the verse 36, it says, there was a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was widowed until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. So we find this is a woman of deep resolve. She is committed to witness to the Lord and to his salvation, to his redemption. So coming up to Mary and Joseph and the baby, at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So her hope had placed her also in the temple at the right time. Timing is everything. And she recognized God's redemption as it was revealed. And so for Anna, the apostle writes to the church, reminding us, but when the set time had fully come, timing is everything. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. The passage closes with two more verses. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. As the child grew and became strong, he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. So we never hear again from Simeon and Anna and the rest of the Bible. So their story occupies this very small passage in the beginning of the New Testament. But their part in the story is important enough that Luke includes it. So if you have decided to be here in worship today on this rare occasion when this passage is read and people are able to hear it, and I think it's important for you. Timing is everything. And I'm confident that the Holy Spirit has a purpose in your hearing what you have heard. There's no doubt to me that hope is a powerful thing. So this has been a difficult year. The last Sunday of 2020. Woohoo! I have to confess that as a pastor, it has been the most challenging year I've ever experienced. And my heart aches for many of you and the things that you're going through, or just the disconnection we sense and feel. I feel in a lot of ways that I have made mistakes and failed. It's just the nature of it. I have to accept that. But one thing stands out clear to me tonight, today, and that is hope is strong. Hope is strong in this congregation. I'm confident that God has been revealing Jesus Messiah through this church and all the stuff that we've experienced, and that hope will be fulfilled. We will yet see better days ahead. And we can be confident that we will experience shalom, the peace of all God's promises fulfilled. So hang in there. Stick it out. If you're struggling with a faint dream, fan it into flame. If you're holding on to a vision that seems so clear that you just can't wait to rush ahead, wait on God's timing. He will fulfill every dream, every desire, every promise he has given. Hope, it's a powerful thing. Lord, thank you for the hope that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for surrounding us with hopeful followers of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us these two characters, Simeon and Anna in Scripture, to encourage us and to help us to remain, to hold on to the hope we have. And Lord, like them, may we wait on you, trusting in your timing, and see God's salvation revealed more and more in Jesus. Through us, Lord, may many sons and daughters come to faith in you. If your hope is struggling today, put your faith in Jesus. Call out to him right now. Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. Save me. Fill me with your hope, your life, your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Amen.